British Sky Broadcasting presents Robert De Niro and Dakota Fanning in Hide and Seek, voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. A title reads, The First Day of the New Year, New York City. A little girl in a red coat lies on her back on the green wooden boards of a playground roundabout. In her gloved hand, she clutches a china doll. Her cloudless blue eyes smile up at the cloudless blue of the sky and at the tops of the tall birches which seem to revolve overhead. A blonde-haired woman in a Burberry Mac leans in to spin the roundabout.
Faster?
No, no, no!
You're gonna slide off. You all right? Are you sliding?
Yeah.
No. If you're sliding, I'm gonna stop it.
No!
You okay? Okay.
A man appears, carrying something from a food stall, and stands smiling at the happy scene. The woman by the roundabout now stands alone in an elegant kitchen, wearing a black dress, a glass of red wine in her hand. She shakes a tablet from a plastic container, pops it, and washes it down with the wine. Her face seems to register relief. She rinses out her glass. She walks into a child's bedroom.
That's funny. I could have sworn I saw a little girl by the name of Emily come in here. Come out, wherever you are. Could she be hiding in the closet? I wonder where she could be. Maybe my eyes have deceived me.
I'm invisible, Mommy.
Well, if you're invisible... Then how could I do this?
Did you know where I was?
Not a clue. You want Alex?
The woman hands Emily her china doll. She looks at the child and then lowers her eyes. The child looks up at her inquiringly.
What is it?
I love you more than anything else in the world. You know that, don't you?
I love you too.
Hi, sweetheart.
Make face. Please.
The woman grimaces comically.
Now go to sleep.
Okay.
The woman switches out the light and then turns in the doorway to cast one more look at her daughter. Then she closes the door.
Mommy!
Sorry. Good night.
The woman leaves the door slightly open. The girl smiles towards the shaft of light. The woman enters a room in which a man sits, looking through the eyepiece of a reflector telescope.
You coming to bed?
In a little while.
Something you want to talk about?
Some things are beyond therapy, David.
She gives him a somewhat withering look. He seems to ponder rather sadly as he watches her leave the room. She lies in a bath, lighted candles all around the tub. She seems to be deep in melancholy thought. David lies sleeping. A woman's hand lightly caresses his face. David is awakened either by the hand or the dreamed vision of people celebrating amid a cloud of golden balloons. He looks at his clock, which reads 2:06. He sits up and looks around. He is alone in the bed. He walks along the corridor of the apartment. He sees light coming from behind a half-opened door.
Honey?
David's eyes look troubled. He moves warily down the passageway towards the door. enters the bathroom. The bath is now enclosed by a glass screen through which the candle flames continue to flicker. David slides back one of the leaves. Emily's mother lies lifeless in the reddened water. David lurches desperately into the bath and lifts her up by the shoulders. He presses his face into her hair. David is unaware that behind him, framed in the bathroom doorway, clutching her china doll, stands Emily. Her startlingly blue eyes are wide open, taking in the dreadful scene. Her face is set in an impassive mask. Up onto the black screen comes a title reading New York City Children's Hospital. Emily sits surrounded by children but oblivious to them. Her eyes are wide open and her face expressionless. David stands observing her from a distance. Next to him is a young female doctor.
I should have seen it coming. All the signs were there.
The ones closest to you are the hardest to judge.
Oh, but I could have prevented it.
David, it's not your fault. How long have we known each other? Trust me when I tell you this. As difficult as it may seem, you're gonna have to try and start over.
We're gonna move. Upstate. The country.
It's not exactly what I meant by starting over. What about Emily? This is a traumatic time for her. I think it's important she stays here and works through this.
Oh, here she's flooded with memories. I need to expose her to a new environment, new things to do.
She'd be losing another person she depends on.
It's only an hour away, and you're always welcome to come and see her. And right now, I need to do what's right for Emily. I need to be a full-time dad.
David stands by the open rear hatch of a people carrier. The young female doctor helps Emily into the rear passenger seat.
I have a surprise for you.
Emily takes from her a marquetry box, which she opens, revealing a miniature revolving ballerina.
When I was your age, my mom gave me one just like that. And whenever I was feeling sad, I would open the lid, and all my sorrows went away. Do you like it? Give me a hug.
The girl leans over and hugs the woman.
You're gonna like it there. Right, let's go.
David shuts the boot. The woman smiles at Emily, who waves a gloved hand in farewell. The Manhattan skyline spreads out as a backdrop to titles in bold type. Just before each title fades, it is partially replicated in red scrawl like some kind of ghostly echo. The title Hide and Seek changes fully into the childlike red capitals. The people carrier speeds over a broad road bridge out of the city. It is now on a highway among trees. David sits at the wheel. In the rear of the vehicle, Emily sits gazing non-committally out of the window. An enormous long-haired cat sits in a wire travel basket and yawns cavernously. The people carrier glides along a street lined with quaint white-painted featherboard houses. A sign reads, "Welcome to Woodland, New York, population 2206. The people carrier pulls up in front of a neat, spacious house set in its own gardens among trees.
Come on, let's take a look.
Right on time. Dr. Calloway.
Mr. Haskins?
Hello.
This is Sheriff Hafferty.
Sheriff?
He routinely checks on the houses up here, makes sure things run smoothly.
I see. Well, this is my daughter, Emily. This is Sheriff Hafferty.
Emily? How are you?
This is Mr. Haskins. He found us the house.
Oh, hello there, Emily. I think your dad did a good job picking the house.
She's still deciding.
Well, she sure is pretty.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, Woodland Estates is mainly a summer community. Maybe a little quiet up here till then. Hope that's not a problem.
Not at all.
Great. Let me show you around the back.
You ever spent much time in the country?
Not much. I used to camp when I was little, but I was always scared of the woods.
Nothing to be scared of in these woods. Picked a nice spot. Biggest house on the lake.
Sheriff, if you'd like to do the honors, let Dr. Calloway into his new home.
Figure out which key.
Did you see where my daughter went?
Emily! Emily! Emily!
Emily is standing at the bottom of a bank, looking into the surrounding woodland. David goes to join her, leaving Haskins and the sheriff looking on.
Honey? You okay? Come on, let's go back. Come on. Come on. Mr. Haskins, Sheriff, we'll take it from here.
It is nighttime. A light shines from an upstairs window of the house. Inside, David and Emily sit at table. The china doll sits propped up by Emily's place. Her Coke remains undrunk. She toys with a pile of spaghetti.
Spaghetti and meatballs is your favorite dish. You're not hungry?
Emily casts a sidelong look at David. He makes strenuous attempts at pulling comedy faces. Emily remains unmoved.
I'd like to go to bed now.
David shrugs in disappointment. Emily walks away carrying her doll.
I'll come up and kiss you goodnight.
The ballerina twirls. David enters the seemingly empty room.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I saw a little girl by the name of Emily coming here. I wonder where she's hiding. Could she be...
Under the bed!
No. Could she be hiding? Let's see, where could she be hiding? Could she be hiding in the closet?
The cat leaps out of the closet as David yanks open the door. Emily emerges from the bathroom and turns expressionless eyes on David as he kneels on the floor looking slightly foolish. She tucks herself and her doll up in bed.
Okay. Since it's the first night in the new house, I thought it would be a good time to start a new diary. Each day you can write down your feelings and thoughts, and then one day you can look back and see how much they've changed. Huh? I love you more than anything else in the world, sweetheart. You know that.
That's what Mommy said.
Hmm?
Before she killed herself.
Sweetheart, she meant what she said. And so do I. You want me to put this over here? All right. Good night.
David leaves the door slightly ajar, throwing a shaft of light which illuminates Emily's left eye. It is daylight. Inside the house, David walks along a passage and through a door marked private. He surveys piles of packing cases. He pulls up the wooden blind. He tears bubble wrap from an antique captain's chair. Through the window, Emily walks away from the house and down into the woodland, trailing her doll as she goes. David hangs up his framed diploma from the Society of New York Psychologists. He unwraps a pair of stereo headphones. Emily walks through the forest, seemingly pursuing a large red butterfly. It leads her over a rise and flutters into the mouth of some kind of cave. Emily stands staring, transfixed, and then drops her doll. David sits at a large desk, wearing his headphones and writing in a large notebook. He has written, "Emily is currently displaying signs of difficulty with her transition." He stops, having seemingly become aware of a stain on the palm of his writing hand. He inspects it and then gets out a handkerchief, with which he carefully wipes his hand.
Emily! Emily! Em? Emily!
Oh, there you are. Come on, sweetheart, we're going into town. We have some errands to do.
Emily has mysteriously reappeared indoors. Her feet leave muddy prints on the parquet. A woman appears at the front door.
Hello.
Hi. Hi there. I'm Laura. I live next door.
Oh, I'm David. How are you?
Here, these are for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
My husband and I made the preserves ourselves.
I didn't even realize anyone else lived up here.
Well, it does get pretty quiet in the off-season.
Oh, this is my daughter, Emily. Emily, say hello to Laura. She's our neighbor.
Isn't she adorable?
You gonna say hi? Well, she gets a little shy around new faces.
I understand. It's gonna be a real treat having both of you here. Oh, you're on your way out. I won't keep you. If you need anything, don't hesitate to stop by.
Same here. And thank you for all the preserves, the peach and apricot preserves.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Emily continues staring wide-eyed at the retreating figure of Laura. David is refueling the people carrier. At the edge of the adjacent small lake, a blonde woman sits on a bench, while a little girl in a similarly bright red coat to Emily's swings high on a swing.
Did you listen to me?
David looks intrigued, possibly slightly spooked by the resonances the scene evokes. He moves closer. Finally, the woman turns her head to him.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a daughter the same age. She's in the car.
Oh. I'm Elizabeth. Elizabeth Young.
Hi. David Calloway. How are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Are you visiting?
I just moved up from the city.
Oh. Usually it's the other way around.
I know. Your kid?
Oh, no. No. She's my sister's kid. I'm the honorary babysitter.
Watch!
Amy, be careful. Amy. Amy.
All right?
Emily looks on from the car, the ghost of a smile playing momentarily on her lips.
That's very funny. Oh my God, you're gonna make me nuts, you know that? Is your daughter this crazy?
David is tucking Emily up in bed.
Where's Alex?
I don't like her anymore.
Did I just hear what I think I heard?
Are you mad, Daddy?
No, I'm not mad at all, honey. I think it's great.
You do?
Yeah.
Good. Because I have a new friend.
A new friend? Okay. Let me guess. Is it, Veronica?
No.
Is it, Patty? Is it...
He's not a doll.
He's...
Not a doll.
Hey. Okay, well, if he's not a doll, then who is he?
He doesn't want me to talk about him.
Doesn't want you to talk about him? Well, what if I promise to keep it a secret? Could you tell me then?
Emily considers, then nods.
So, what's his name?
He told me to call him Charlie.
Charlie? Oh, that's an interesting name. Charlie. When did you meet Charlie?
Today.
When we went to town?
It was before that.
Before that, huh? Is he here right now?
I think he's sleeping.
Okay. Well, in that case, we better not wake him. Hmm?
It's not unusual for a traumatized child to create imaginary friends.
I know. I just wish he'd confide in me instead of using fantasy.
Trauma causes pain. Eventually, the mind will find a way to release it.
No kidding. Don't forget, I'm the one who taught you that stuff.
As a matter of fact, you did, yes. Just have fun with her, David. Play with her. That's what she needs.
In a shower of light snow, David emerges from the house carrying a plastic bag of rubbish. He opens the lid of the bin and is brought up short by something he sees inside. He reaches in and pulls out Alex, Emily's doll. The doll's porcelain face has been brutally smashed. David looks appalled and throws a glance over his shoulder back towards the house. He sadly dumps the doll back in the bin, puts the trash on top and drops the lid.
These are beginning runs.
It is daylight. David is buying fishing tackle.
Two rods, 41, 50 each. Sounds about two.
David looks out and sees Sheriff Hafferty leaning into the people carrier window chatting. The sheriff looks up and half smiles at him.
Just bait and tackle.
David picks up a ticket from his windscreen.
Sheriff!
Hafferty shrugs officiously.
You parked in a handicapped zone.
I didn't even realize. Could you give me a break? I didn't realize.
Enjoy your day.
Emily sits inside the open rear of the people carrier, gazing sardonically at David's powerless frustration.
Yeah, so much for small-town hospitality, honey. Shut the door.
We broke the law.
I know we broke the law. Shut the door.
Hafferty gets into his police jeep, looking on superciliously.
There's a Loch Ness Monster.
What?
You know what that is? It's in Scotland. This is a good spot.
David and Emily pitch up at the side of a calm lake. David gets out a book. Emily lays down her new fishing rod and line. She picks up a large black beetle, which she holds up for inspection between finger and thumb. David looks up in surprised distaste as he sees his daughter impaling the insect on her fishhook.
Honey, what are you doing? Do you think that's a good idea?
Emily smiles slightly at her handiwork.
Emily, we have bait.
See?
Emily dangles the beetle in David's face.
All right.
Did you have a nice time today?
Okay.
Just okay? Well, then, what could we have done to make it better? What if Charlie was there? Would he have made it better?
He's a lot of fun.
Fun like how?
Fun like mommy.
David's face crumples slightly as he struggles to absorb this.
It's a little stuffy in here.
Emily lies in bed watching her father struggle to raise the sash window of her bedroom.
Okay, Daddy.
The porch lantern swings in a stiffening breeze. David lies asleep in his bed. Dream images flash up of a celebration. People in black tie, a cloud of golden balloons, David and his late wife kiss. A woman's hand gently strokes his right cheek and he awakes. David looks over to his digital clock, which just then clicks from 2:05 to 2:06. He looks around and listens. He puts on his glasses and gets up. He walks to his bedroom door and looks out. Across the landing, light comes from behind a half-open door. David moves cautiously towards the light. David enters the bathroom to find a horribly reminiscent scene of candles around the bathtub, which is shrouded by a plastic curtain. He whips this back to find scrawled on the tiles in red letters, "You let her die." Emily has appeared wide-eyed in the doorway. David looks at her with wounded incredulity.
Emily, why would you do this?
I didn't do it.
What do you mean you didn't do it? There's nobody here but us.
It wasn't me.
This is your writing, and these are your crayons, honey. It's all right, just tell me. You don't have to lie to me.
Not lying.
Okay, well, if you didn't do it, then who did?
It was Charlie.
She thinks I'm responsible for Allison's death.
It's Charlie that holds you responsible. Use him, David. Use him to get through to her. He's the key.
I have to go. I think I found her a real friend.
Really? That's great. Call me if you need me, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Amy. Glad you came. Em! We have guests. Emily!
Emily walks mechanically down the stairs, her face blank.
This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Emily.
Emily, this is Amy.
Hi.
Emily switches on a brief smile.
Hi.
Coffee maker has a mind of its own.
God.
David brings in a tray of coffee and gestures for Elizabeth to sit on the sofa.
So, is that your wife?
David clocks the photo and nods reluctantly.
She passed away.
I'm sorry.
No matter how many times I say it, it still sounds so strange.
Must be hard on Emily.
Have you ever been married?
Actually, I just got divorced. I'm living with my sister and her husband until I can figure out my next move. Best way to get over the past is to start something new.
That's why we're here.
Baby! Wrapped up in toilet paper, put it in the incubator. What shall it be? Oh, by the way, this is Penelope.
Thanks.
You're gonna like it here. It's a lot of fun. Well, it's not always fun, but there are lots of fun things to do.
Amy takes down one of Emily's dolls.
She's beautiful. What's her name?
Emily remains turned away, blanking her.
You don't talk much, do you?
You shouldn't be here.
Why not?
You could get hurt.
Emily thrusts towards Amy the hideously mangled, eyeless face of a doll. Amy bursts out through the front door and goes down to wait by Elizabeth's VW Beetle.
God. Okay.
So you have my number.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I guess I should go.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Emily!
David turns back to Emily, who sits on the stairs.
So, what'd you think of Amy? Did you like her?
I don't need any more friends.
David is left alone in the hallway, looking troubled. In the kitchen, David washes up at the sink by the window. He looks out through the net curtain to see Emily outside playing hopscotch alone. David's attention is caught by something. He moves over to the kitchen table, on which sits a knife block. A large chef's knife is half out of the block. David carefully slides the knife back into place, looking puzzled. David continues tidying up and then glances once again through the kitchen window. A man now sits on a log next to where Emily is playing.
Good, good.
Perfect.
Hi. Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude.
Oh.
I'm Stephen, Laura's husband from next door.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
It's David, right?
Yes, it's David.
Just wanted to say hi.
Nice to meet you, Stephen.
Figure, you know, we're going to be neighbors, you might as well be neighborly, right?
Right. Well, you're going to have to excuse us, Stephen. We have a busy day ahead of us. Honey, come on. Emily. Let's go.
Emily smiles coyly at Stephen, who stands looking somewhat embarrassed.
Bye.
Listen, if you need anything, just give a shout, will you?
Okay. Thank you. See you around.
David?
Yeah.
You're very lucky to have such a beautiful daughter.
Thank you.
Stephen appears almost tearful as he turns to walk away. David takes Emily back indoors.
You remember what I told you about not talking to strangers?
He's not a stranger.
What do you mean?
He's our neighbor.
As far as I'm concerned, he's a stranger, honey. Don't walk away when I'm talking to you. I'm telling you something.
I'm sorry, Daddy. Weren't you finished?
No, I wasn't finished. What I'm saying is, it's very important for you to listen when I tell you something.
Okay.
Okay?
David sets a green enamel kettle on the stove and lights the gas. He walks through into the next room. David looks towards the ceiling. David walks back into the kitchen where the kettle is already steaming furiously and spitting out boiling water.
What are you doing, sweetheart?
Nothing.
What's so funny? Is Charlie here?
He just left.
Where'd he go?
Emily indicates the window. Net curtains blow in the breeze, coming through the wide-open sash.
Did you open that?
I thought you did.
David moves towards the open window. He leans out and looks out into the windy night. He checks the drop. He draws back inside and closes and locks the window.
I want to talk to Charlie.
What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk to him about all sorts of things.
Like what?
Like, what makes him happy, what makes him sad. So what do you say? You think he can introduce us?
I don't think that's gonna work.
Why is that?
He doesn't like you very much.
Well, why doesn't he like me very much? Does it have something to do with Mommy? Honey? What does he tell you?
David sits at his desk, wearing his headphones and writing in his large notebook. Heavy rain lashes against the window panes. Emily sits on her bed. She gets up from her bed and slowly approaches the closet, smiling inscrutably. She yanks open the louver door. Nothing. Her expression doesn't change. She emerges from her bedroom and looks right and left along the landing. She slowly descends the staircase into the ground floor hallway. She looks around. She crosses the hallway and opens the door of a closet. Pushing aside a row of coats on a rail, she uncovers another door. She descends steps into the pitch-black cellar. At the bottom of the stairs, she switches on a light. The bare bulb illuminates an old bike hanging from the joists, swinging slightly, and a trash of outmoded dusty pieces of furniture and other kit whose functions can now only be guessed at. Emily moves further into the cellar. In one corner is a neatly turned down bed covered in a blanket of military green. Next to it stands a galvanized iron bucket.
Charlie? Is that you?
The house is plunged into darkness. David removes his headphones and runs towards the stairs.
Emily!
David gets a flashlight from a small cupboard and heads down into the cellar.
Emily!
David finds Emily seated up against the wall.
What happened? Why are you down here? Emily, talk to me.
He was hiding.
Who was hiding?
David spins around as the lights go back on and some kind of generator or boiler kicks back in.
I go to bed now.
David looks blankly bewildered. Emily lies in bed, eyes open. Daylight. David opens the door to Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a minute?
Yeah, sure, come on in.
Thank you. wanted to apologize for my husband. He said he had a awkward moment yesterday with you and Emily.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
He's harmless, really. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
That's fine.
It's just that we lost a child recently, a girl. In some ways, Emily reminds us of her.
I see.
He was just reaching out. There is nothing worse in this world than losing a child.
Nighttime. Elizabeth Beetle pulls up in front of the house. Elizabeth gets out carrying a paper shopping bag and a loose wrapped package. Emily takes the lid from an old hat box on which is written Mommy's Things. The long-haired cat luxuriates in front of a blazing open fire. Elizabeth removes a frying pan of meat and sauce from the hob. She takes a wooden spoon and samples the sauce before going to offer some to David.
Here, taste this. I think it may be too salty.
Oh. Not bad.
Really?
Not bad.
Oh, good.
Really good.
Emily appears in her mother's black dress.
Wow, you look so pretty. You didn't have to get all dressed up for me.
Honey, would you go upstairs and change into something else, please?
Don't you like it?
Not for dinner, no.
Why not?
You know why.
She looks so pretty. Let's just eat. I think you look really beautiful.
David, Elizabeth, and Emily sit at table. Emily is still in her mother's dress and jewelry. Elizabeth sips from her glass of white wine and looks encouragingly at Emily.
Did Daddy tell you that my mommy died?
Yes, he did. And I'm very sorry.
Did he tell you how she died?
Honey, I don't think Elizabeth really wants to hear how that happened. Okay.
She killed herself in her bathtub.
Emily?
Slit her wrist with a razor.
Emily! That's enough.
Emily continues calmly eating. Elizabeth processes this piece of news.
Emily, I brought you something. Your dad asked me to bring over some of Amy's books. These are some of my favorites when I was your age.
Oh, that's great. Give you a chance to see what the other kids are reading before you get started. You gonna say thanks?
Emily eyeballs Elizabeth and fingers the books.
Emily. Emily. Emily, stop it. That's enough.
Do you like her, Daddy?
Stop this.
Charlie says you do.
Go to your room.
He says you like her as much as Mommy.
To your room. If you're gonna behave this way, go to your room.
Let's hope you don't wind up like her.
Emily's last remark was directed at Elizabeth, who watches as the little girl leaves. David and she are left looking at their dinner plates.
I'm sorry.
Who's Charlie?
Oh, he's her imaginary friend. Her only friend. I always wanted her to have a better childhood than I had. Now look.
Emily watches from her window as David sees Elizabeth to her car. David is brushing his teeth. He catches sight of something in the mirror and turns to see the cat sitting on the threshold looking intently at him. Nighttime. The porch lamp swings in the wind. David lies asleep in his bed. Reality fades into the dream of the party. People dance. A man gets up onto a table. David and Alice stand side by side, smiling. Ty stands at the bottom of a grand stairwell looking upwards. A flash of the bathroom, scrawl on tiles, a white-faced man pulls back the screen. The digital clock clicks to 2:06. David wakes up. He puts on his glasses and gets up from the bed. He looks out of his bedroom door. Again, light shines from the bathroom. He moves towards the light, slipping on his bathrobe as he goes. He opens the bathroom door. He pulls back the shower curtain, revealing the scrawled words, "Now look what you've done," and an arrow pointing down into the tub, which is full of brown, murky water. David rolls up his sleeve and pulls up the plug chain. He reaches deeper into the water and pulls out the drowned body of the cat. David enters Emily's room to find her sitting up on the bed.
Charlie did it. You do believe me, don't you, Daddy? Why are you looking at me like that?
David shuts the door on Emily and stands on the landing, breathing heavily for some moments. He goes down to the kitchen and crouches down to get into a cupboard. A noise from the front door makes him look up. David opens the door to find the estate agent on his knees.
Dr. Calloway, I didn't mean to disturb you. Thought you might be needing these. Different rooms in the house. I forgot to give them to you earlier. I apologize.
It's a little late to be delivering keys, isn't it?
Well, I thought I could slip them under the door. Wife and I are going to Canada first thing in the morning. We've got a little cabin tucked away in the woods. A good place to clear the mind. Is everything all right?
David nods. But his expression tells a different story.
Well, enjoy.
David fishes the matted corpse from the bath and deposits it in a black sack. He sprays and scrubs down the tiles. He opens the door of a shed in the yard and takes out a long-handled shovel. In the woods adjacent to the house, he digs a shallow grave. He dumps the polythene-wrapped body into it. He begins shoveling the sandy soil back into the hole. In the daylight, David sits at the kitchen table. There is a glass in front of him. Emily trips down the stairs, seemingly quite carefree.
What's for breakfast?
David's glass turns out to contain orange juice, and breakfast is fully laid out. Emily blithely tucks into the pancakes on her plate.
Honey, why would Charlie do such a horrible thing? Is it because of Elizabeth? Charlie needs to understand something, honey. Elizabeth is not trying to take Mommy's place. Does he understand that? Honey, I can't help you if you don't talk to me.
Emily finally makes eye contact.
Why doesn't he like Elizabeth?
Because she likes you.
And?
He doesn't want you to be happy.
Honey, you know this has nothing to do with Charlie. You do know that. It's about you, honey. And that's okay. Charlie doesn't exist.
You shouldn't say that.
Why not?
Gonna make him mad.
Oh, well, so what? I'll get him mad. Let him come out and yell at me. Good, I want to see him. Where is he?
You want to see him?
David and Emily enter the girl's bedroom. David's attention is drawn to dozens of childish drawings pinned up on the walls. Most of the pictures feature a crudely drawn male figure, sometimes raising his arms threateningly, sometimes grimacing or roaring, mouth wide open.
Who's that supposed to be?
Charlie and Mommy. She would have liked him.
No, trust me, honey. Mommy wouldn't like Charlie.
That's not what he says.
David pauses and then turns to Emily.
What do you mean? What does he say?
What does he say? What does Charlie say? Talk to me. What does he say?
He says he would have satisfied her.
Who told you to say that?
Charlie did.
No. Who told you that?
Charlie did.
There is no Charlie. Who said it?
Charlie did!
He did not. Who said it?
Charlie!
A sporty silver Lexus pulls up outside the house. Emily runs joyfully to meet it. David follows behind.
Hey, sweetheart.
I'm so happy you came.
So good to see you. Want to show me the house?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, David. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
It is the young doctor. Emily applies makeup to a doll.
Do you like it here?
Having a lot of fun.
You are. Tell me about your friend Charlie.
He doesn't like me to talk about him.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you told me. So tell me, what do you guys do together?
Play games.
What kind of games?
Hide and seek. That's our favorite.
Sounds like Charlie's a lot of fun. What do you guys talk about?
I don't know. Bunch of things. Sometimes he even talks about you.
Really? And what does he say? You can tell me.
He's afraid you're gonna get in the way.
In the way of what?
Our game.
What game is that?
Upsetting Daddy. Isn't she pretty?
David, I'd like to bring Emily back with me. At least for a little while, so she can be evaluated.
I'm just worried bringing her back will make her worse.
She's not well.
I know that.
And she's not your patient.
I know that, too.
She thinks it's a game. She's using Charlie to get to you.
I know things haven't gone as well as we hoped, but do you really think bringing her back to New York is going to make that much of a difference?
It's worth a try.
All right, look, I'll give it 2 more weeks, and if there's no improvement, I'll bring her back.
She is not satisfied by this answer. David comes up the stairs. He seems to be undecided. He looks to his left and then resolves to enter Emily's bedroom. He switches on the light. He walks into the room, looking around him as he goes. He surveys Emily's gallery of pictures pinned to the walls. Several are of grown-up figures hand in hand with a child. Many are on black backgrounds. David notices Emily's shelf is now bare of dolls. David looks around him and then moves around to the bedside table, sits on the bed, and opens the drawer. He looks around almost furtively as he pulls out and then opens the diary he gave Emily. There is no writing in the book, just a small picture on the bottom left-hand corner of each page. David looks more closely and sees that it is a hand-drawn flickbook of a woman in a bath. He looks back over his shoulder, his face registering deep concern. He flicks through the pages. The cartoon figure frenziedly stabs its own wrists. Red fills the bath, spills over, and fills the whole page.
What are you doing, Daddy?
Nothing.
What were you looking at?
No, I was just getting ready to tuck you in.
Emily gets into the bed, and David covers her up with the duvet.
Night.
David turns out the light and exits, leaving the door ajar.
Daddy?
Yes, sweetheart?
Can you close the door?
You don't want the light?
I don't need it anymore.
David looks troubled by this.
Okay.
David walks through into his own bedroom and sits down on the bed. He appears to be really struggling to come to terms with what's going on. As he starts to take off his shoes, something catches his eye through the window. He sees Laura through the lighted window of the neighboring house. She appears to be talking animatedly. David turns out his bedroom light and moves his reflector telescope on its tripod over to the window. As David adjusts the focus, he gets a clearer view into his neighbor's living room. A children's cartoon is playing on the television. Stepping in front of this, Laura, now obviously extremely upset and shouting, appears to be gesturing vehemently towards David's house. On the sofa in front of her sits Stephen, who looks at her without seeming to respond. David looks pensive.
Hi.
Hello, David.
I thought I'd return the favor.
Oh, thank you. Apple. My favorite. You go make yourself at home. I'll be back in a second.
Thank you.
Laura walks away with the apple pie. David enters the living room, looking around him slightly suspiciously. The room is festooned with large cuddly toys and stacked with children's books and games. On the mantelpiece, several candles are burning, almost as if this were a shrine. David moves in closer to inspect a framed photo on the mantelshelf. It shows Laura and Stephen smiling as they hug a child of about 9 or 10. The child smiles also, but is clearly terribly ill, with sunken eyes, a grey complexion, and almost no hair. Laura comes back into the room and smiles rather coyly at David, who cannot hold her gaze, and looks down at his feet.
You must think we're pretty crazy keeping all these toys around. It's hard to find the right place for them, you know.
Laura picks up a huge stuffed bee toy, but then wilts into an armchair, putting her other hand to her eyes. David moves in solicitously.
I'm sorry.
No, you have nothing to be sorry about.
It's just I've had no one to talk to.
You know that I am a psychologist. I've dealt with many people in similar circumstances. And if you and your husband would like to talk about this, it might help.
He's been having a tough time this past couple of weeks.
In what sense?
You have no idea how painful it can be. How painful he can make it.
Laura reflects.
I'm sorry. I've already said too much.
Please, I can... Listen to me. Please, I can help you.
No, he'll be back any moment.
You just talk to me. I can help you.
No. You have to go.
What?
David comes back into his own house, looks through the glass, and then decisively locks the front door. In pouring rain, Elizabeth pulls up in her Beetle and runs up to David's porch, clutching a bunch of flowers. David, wearing his headphones, is oblivious to her knocking.
Hello? David?
Elizabeth walks gingerly into the hallway.
Emily?
Surprised, she looks up towards where the sound came from and then starts to walk up the stairs.
Hello? David? Emily? Emily?
Are you in here?
She is startled to see Emily sitting on her bed.
Didn't you hear me calling?
Daddy's not here.
Well, actually, it was you that I came to see. Would you mind if we talked for a moment? I brought you some daisies. I wasn't sure which one was your favorite color, so I just got all kinds.
Thanks. Emily makes no move to take the flowers. Elizabeth sits on the opposite bed.
Emily, I'm really sorry about what happened the other night. I want you to know that I'm not trying to come between you and your dad. Do you think maybe we could start over? We could be friends.
Do you like games?
I love games. Would you like to play one?
I'm already playing.
And what game are you playing?
Hide and seek.
Don't you need another person to play that game?
He's hiding.
Who's hiding?
Charlie's
hiding. Where is he hiding?
Emily simply and chillingly turns her vacant gaze towards the louvered closet. Elizabeth turns likewise to look.
You stay here.
Elizabeth gets up and moves to the closet.
Charlie! Come out, wherever you are.
Terrified, Elizabeth backs away and falls through the window. It is now night time. David, lying on his couch, still in his headphones, comes to with a start. On the TV, a classic cartoon shows a duck presenting a huge knife to a terrified child.
Emily? Anne?
David picks up the remote control and switches off the TV. David spots something on the mantelpiece. Moving closer, he notices that his own face has been torn from all the framed family photos. Deeply troubled, David climbs the stairs and approaches Emily's door.
Emily? What are you doing? What are you drawing, honey?
Emily kneels, drawing another of her sinister pictures, this time of a figure at a window and a woman's body in midair. David looks round and notices the net curtain blowing in the shattered casement. He goes to look out. Below, on the pent roof and the gravel of the drive, there is debris, but no Elizabeth.
What happened? Emily, what happened?
Outside on the porch stands Sheriff Hafferty.
Oh, hello, Sheriff. Mind if I come in for a minute?
Emily peers down between the banisters.
Some bad news. It's been an accident. I found Elizabeth Young's car crashed on the side of the road.
Is she okay?
I don't know. She wasn't inside. I spoke to her niece, Amy.
Uh-huh.
She told me she came up here to see you. You seen her?
No, I haven't seen her, no.
Would you mind if I had a glass of water?
Sure, just what, water,
Yeah.
Hafferty moves into the living room and picks up one of the vandalized photos.
At first, I thought She might have crashed on the way up.
Hafferty clocks Emily scuttling away.
Taking a second look. I seen the tire tracks leading down the hill.
Hafferty smiles oddly.
So she must at least stop by.
Well, maybe she forgot something or turned around or I don't know, but...
Maybe Emily's seen her.
No, that couldn't be. Emily was here upstairs.
Could you call her?
Sure, I can call her, yeah. I can ask her. Emily! Emily? Em? Honey? Come on down. Come on.
Hello, Emily. Emily, you know Elizabeth Young?
Emily nods.
You've seen her come by in the last few hours?
She shakes her head.
If I stepped away for a minute, you sure there's nothing you'd want to tell your daddy?
I'm sure.
Good girl. You can go on up to your room and play. Cute kid.
Thank you.
If you hear anything, you'll give me a call?
I will, Sheriff. I will, and you can do the same.
I want to check around the neighborhood. You and Emily going to be here?
We'll be here.
Just making sure. Thanks for the water.
You're welcome. Emily
stands against the landing wall in tears.
Emily, where is she? Where's Elizabeth?
Emily holds up a garish plastic alarm clock. Her face crumples in anguish. David turns and goes into the bathroom. Candles flicker through the plastic shower curtain on which is daubed in huge red letters, "Can you see now?" David moves to pull back the curtain. Elizabeth's corpse lies in the bath along with a kitchen knife.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything!
Who did it? Who did it then? Don't say sorry!
I'm telling you!
What is going on?
Charlie.
Who is Charlie? Where is he? Just please help me understand what's happening here.
I can't.
Help me! Did you have a part in this? Did you have a part in this?
He made me help him.
This is him? Is this Charlie?
I can't tell you.
Who is this?
Please, I can't. I'm sorry.
You stay right here. Don't move.
Please don't leave me.
Do not move. You stay right here.
David goes into his study. He tears up Emily's picture of Charlie throwing Elizabeth from the window. He sinks into a chair near to tears. Emily kneels by her bedroom door, trying intently to pick the lock with a hairpin. She resumes her efforts. She leaps back from the door and looks on in horror. The door handle turns. The door swings open. There is nobody visible on the other side. She moves towards the open door.
Hello?
Emily, what's happening?
I don't want to play with Charlie anymore.
Emily, where's your father?
Daddy can't save me now.
Emily? Emily, sweetie, are you there? Are you okay?
Emily lets the phone fall as she looks up in terror. David, in his study, holds his face in his hands. David, carrying bin liners and dressed in a Mac, walks purposefully towards the bathroom. He pulls back the shower curtain to find Elizabeth's body gone. Emily appears in the doorway.
He just left.
David walks out into the storm.
Where is he?
He's hiding!
Where are you? Where are you?
David wanders around, squinting into the darkness of the surrounding forest, clutching the kitchen knife. A tall figure appears behind David. He turns to find Stephen, who winces at the glare of David's flashlight.
You! What are you doing here?
I heard some noises. I saw you come out of the woods with a shovel.
Are you all right?
No! Am I all right?
You stay away.
I want to see her.
Stay away. I'm going to call the cops.
I want to see her now.
You sick fuck!
David slashes Stephen's hand with the knife. He runs towards the house, dropping his flashlight as he goes. Stephen is close behind him. David gets through the door, fending off Stephen with the knife again, and then turns the key. David looks around and then gets down on his knees in search of his glasses, which have fallen off in the fight. He finds them and puts them on.
Daddy!
Honey, stay upstairs! Stay upstairs! Upstairs!
Emily disappears back off upstairs as David goes to the rear patio windows to peer through the net curtains. The music comes from a classic cartoon on the TV. David pulls back a curtain to find Stephen staring through the window sinisterly.
You stay away! You stay away! You get out of here!
Emily comes back down the stairs.
It's okay, sweetheart. Charlie's gone.
He'll go back. No. I know he will.
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Please don't make me see Charlie. Please don't make me see Charlie.
I'm so sorry I didn't believe you. I'm so sorry, honey.
Don't blame me again. Please don't blame me again. Not again.
David looks up on hearing the creak. The door to his study is swinging open. Within, papers are blowing around on the floor. David moves towards the study.
Please don't make me see Charlie.
In the study, a shutter swings back and forth in the wind. David comes to stand on the threshold, confused at the scene within. All the packing cases are taped up. The captain's chair remains in its bubble wrap. The leather couch is in polythene. Emily comes to stand fearfully in the doorway. David wanders around the study and then starts to rip open one of the boxes. He takes out the neatly wrapped headphones.
Is Charlie here right now?
David pulls back a plastic shower curtain.
I think he's sleeping.
Emily stands watching the butterfly disappear into the cave. David emerges from the cave. In his palm is the crushed body of the butterfly. He sits at his desk in his headphones and wipes the stain from his palm. He rips open another case and pulls out the large notebook. He riffles through it and finds that it is completely empty. He sits, headphones on, writing copious notes in the book. He holds the virgin notebook and looks around in utter confusion. At the black tie party, he watches his wife leave the hall. She goes through the burnished metal doors of a lift. David stands at the lift doors. He ascends a staircase.
Come out, wherever you are.
David stands at the bottom of a stairwell, looking up to see his wife in a passionate embrace with the bearded man from the party who had got up onto the table. David lies awake next to his sleeping wife. He clamps the pillow over her face and keeps it there despite her struggles. He arranges her body in the bath. As Elizabeth plummets back out of the window, she rakes her nails across her attacker's forearm. David looks at his forearm, which bears parallel gouge marks. David stands looking down at Elizabeth's prone body. Emily stands in the doorway, her face a tragic mask.
Can you see now, Daddy?
David seems to be trying to make sense of what has happened. He turns slowly to face Emily.
It's okay. Daddy's gone now.
The only movement in the deserted house comes from the flickering of the TV.
Dr. Calloway? Anybody home?
Rafferty enters the house. The phone line has been cut.
Hello?
The sheriff looks around in puzzlement. Upstairs, a door closes. Rafferty climbs the stairs. He sticks his head around Emily's door. He seems just about to leave again, but then notices Emily sitting on the floor by her bed.
Emily? Hey, where's your dad? Neighbor called, said there was a problem. Everything all right? What you drawing there?
You.
House is plunged into darkness.
Emily?
Rafferty turns on his flashlight, but Emily has disappeared. He makes his way cautiously out of the room and down the stairs.
Marco?
Hello?
The sheriff makes his way into the darkened kitchen.
Dr. Calloway?
Marco.
Rafferty spins around to see the closet door swinging. The closet, which leads to the cellar. Rafferty feverishly pushes fuses back into the fuse box and finally breathes a sigh of relief as the lights all come back on. He tries to close the door. It is blocked by a broom handle. He replaces the broom and then swings the door shut, this time revealing David armed with a shovel.
Hold on.
Emily descends the staircase in time to see Hafferty's inert body being dragged into the closet. She continues stealthily down the stairs and comes to stand close by the closet door. She approaches the door, peers inside, and then gently closes it. She brings the hasp across, but without a padlock, the door opens again easily enough. She shuts it once again, and then scurries off to the kitchen and searches frantically through all the drawers. She finally chooses a wooden spoon from the pot on the worktop and runs back out to the hall, only to find the closet door open and her father sitting expectantly on the settle.
Honey.
I can't help but sense a certain tension between us. What's the matter? Don't you want to play anymore? Don't you want to have fun? Hmm? You want your daddy back? Is that it? You like him more than me, don't you?
Oh, oh, liar.
Liar, liar. You're a big, fat liar.
You killed Bobby?
He covers his eyes with his bloody hands, which still clutch the huge knife.
1,000. 2,000. 3,000. 4,000. 5,000.
Emily flees upstairs. David peers through his gory fingers. Outside, the silver Lexus pulls up and the young doctor gets out. She cautiously opens the front door and peers in.
Hello?
She moves slowly further into the house. Nothing stirs. She spots the blood-stained shovel on the floor by the closet door. She comes to the foot of the stairs and looks upwards in trepidation.
Hello?
She moves through the closet and stands looking down into the darkened cellar. She seems to be contemplating venturing down the steps, but finally thinks better of it and turns back. He shakes his head. David hits her, sending her tumbling down the steps to land in a heap on the hard floor. Slowly, she picks herself up. She crawls across the floor, pulling herself level with Hafferty's bloodied face. David opens the door of Emily's bedroom and switches on the light.
That's funny. I could have sworn I saw a little girl by the name of Emily coming here. Emily. I wonder where she could be. Could she be hiding under the bed? No. Could she be hiding under this bed? No. Could she be hiding in the closet?
He stabs the knife through the louvers. In the cellar, the young doctor gingerly reaches into Hafferty's holster and tweaks out his service revolver. He grabs her arm. David has been prowling around the shower curtain and now rips it back. Emily, however, was behind the door and she now dashes back to her room and scrabbles frantically with the key.
Pardon. Turn over. Emily.
Emily.
David stabs the door with the knife. Emily frantically looks for an escape via the shattered window.
Let me open up for Daddy.
She runs to the window that used to stick and strains to undo the catch.
Mommy misses you.
The young doctor is trying to kick her way out through the closet door, which is now latched by means of the wooden spoon. David kicks in Emily's door to find that she has escaped through the window. He looks out to see her running across the grass towards the forest. Emily runs through the wood and then stops short when she sees the cave, which seems to terrify her even more. The doctor enters the bedroom, gun in hand.
Emily?
Seeing the curtains blowing at the open window, she moves past the louvered closet and looks out. As she turns back, she looks up at the wall where Emily hangs all her pictures. She studies the sinister images. She hurries out of the bedroom and looks out through a window on the landing from where she can make out the misty forest. Inside the cave is a pool of water. Reflected in this pool is the cave entrance. In the entrance stands David, holding the knife. He edges forward into the darkness of the cave, slipping slightly on the muddy floor.
Emily, your daddy's looking for you.
David switches on a powerful flashlight. Emily cowers behind a rock. David advances threateningly. David approaches the rock. He flashes the light behind the rock to reveal a grotesque flotsam of doll heads floating on the surface of the water, but no Emily. He reaches down and picks up the marquetry jewel box given by the doctor to Emily. He places the box on a large piece of log and floats it out across the pool. The young doctor appears at the mouth of the cave, holding the pistol out in front of her. She moves inside the cave with extreme caution. She is suddenly caught in the beam of the torch.
Captain.
Charlie?
Oh, it's me, it's David.
Where is Emily?
Catherine, I...
Emily!
It's all right, I just want to explain to you what
it
is. You were right.
Emily!
You were right. I never should have brought her up here. It was a mistake. I mean, Emily's not the person who's not well. It's me. You said it. Trauma causes pain, and you were right.
We're going to get you some help, okay?
I'm sorry.
He drops the flashlight and knocks the gun out of her hand, sending it spinning into the water. He punches her to the ground and gets her around the throat, trying to force her under the water. David retrieves the flashlight and picks out Emily standing knee-deep in water at the rear of the cave.
There you are.
Don't.
What?
Don't hurt her.
Why?
She's my friend.
I thought I was your friend.
Please, Charlie.
He moves slowly towards her, cruelly turning the flashlight on and off at intervals. Each time the light comes back on, Emily is looking more terrified. Finally, the light goes back on to reveal Catherine leveling the gun at David.
Hide and seek.
Emily, who has hidden her eyes on the instruction hide and seek, now turns to embrace Catherine. David's body bobs in the fetid water of the cave amidst the slew of doll heads and the floating musical box. Emily, in a pretty nightdress, sits up in bed, writing intently in a spiral-bound notebook.
Time for bed, sweetie.
Catherine comes over to Emily's bed and sits down. The child gazes up at her adoringly. Catherine smiles.
I'm here for you.
Emily smiles and nods. Catherine leans down to kiss her.
I'll always be here for you.
I know you will.
Sweet dreams, Angel.
Catherine?
Yes.
Leave the door open.
You know I can't do that, sweetheart. Good night.
The bedroom door through which Catherine entered has now transformed into a hospital door with a wire-reinforced window. Catherine emerges into a hospital corridor.
How is she?
I'm gonna come back tomorrow. And the next day. I'm not gonna give up on her.
The end.